Oh, Minister, thank you.
Thank you, Harold. Great to be with you this morning. Been a while since I've joined you on Zoom. And we have fall colors like you wouldn't believe here in Ontario. I'm sure you're experiencing some of that there. Along with the fall colors, however, we had some snow. But never fear, it was just a few flakes. It didn't materialize. There wasn't a few feet or anything like that. But it's just a shot over the bow telling us, guess what? It is coming. So happy Thanksgiving weekend to everybody. And I'll say a little bit more about Thanksgiving at the Family Bible Hour. But I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Psalm 147. 147. Now, when you get there, I just want you to hold your hand there for a moment. 147. And I want to give you a little flyover, a quick flyover of the book of Psalms. And what I mean by that, this is a very, you'll never hear a summary any shorter than this on the book of Psalms. And as you might well know, the book of Psalms has 150 Psalms in it. We call them chapters, but 150 Psalms. Now, here's the short flyover. In Psalm number 1, we read these words, and you can just listen if you don't want to turn there. And Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of waters, which bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." So for 150 Psalms, the first Psalm says, blessed is the man who walks with God. Now, for 150 Psalms, the psalmists are going to write about every imaginable circumstance of life. Honestly, I think it's all there. I mean, how many times have you just opened up to the book of Psalms and you go, oh my, that's like reading the newspaper. Oh, or that really fits me, or whatever. Great application, okay. Here's my point, here's the flyover. We start with blessed is the man. We go through most every circumstance of life. And at the end of Psalms, Psalm 146, 47, 48, 49, and 50 all start with the same words. Praise the Lord. Now, I find that very interesting. So you got blessed is the man who walks with God. Then the psalmist says, okay, let's take you through all the circumstances of life. How do you end up at the end? Praising the Lord. That's right. That's how you end up. 146, praise the Lord. 47, praise the Lord. 48, 49, 50, praise the Lord. So just a quick search on my online Bible, and the word praise appears 304 times in the Bible. It's a great word. And we're going to stop for a few minutes at Psalm 147 this morning. And we're going to be thinking about praise. Okay. Now, praise and thanksgiving are like horse and carriage, love and marriage. You know what I mean? It's just like they go together. Just like you can hardly say praise without thanking the Lord. You can hardly thank the Lord without praising the Lord. But the word praise means to acknowledge the worth or the work of a person. Praise means to lift them up, exalt them, recognize them. Now, the world is good at that. Did you know that? The world does that. They give things called gold medals in the Olympic. You know what they say? They say, this person runs faster than anybody else in the world. This person dives deeper than any other person in the world. This person, we want to lift this person up for their work and their worth. We want to exalt them. We want to recognize them and attribute to them the grand recognition that they deserve for the work that they have done. The world knows how to do that. But oh my goodness, listen, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise the Lord. Let us, nobody that should get more praise, and of course from the people of God, than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So let's read the first six verses in Psalm 147. What a great weekend to lift the Lord up, to praise the Lord. So Psalm 147, watch your Bibles, please. Verse 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant. And praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord, and great and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. We'll end our reading there. So we want to think a little bit about this word praise in the scriptures. At the end of my message, I'll bring some other passages together. But for a moment, let's just notice in the context, the first thing that we're introduced to are three things that praise is. You'll notice that in verse 1. It is good, it is pleasant, and it is beautiful. Let's think about that for a moment. The word good just means it's right. It's acceptable. It's proper. So, to lift up the Lord, to recognize his work, to honor him, to adore him, is just right. It's just what you ought to do. I mean, there's nothing more proper than praising the Lord. Now, we know in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Are you listening? Which is your reasonable. It's proper. It's the right thing to do. Your reasonable service to him. Well, praise is like that. It's reasonable. It's the right thing to do. Number two, it's pleasant. Oh boy. I like this definition. Non-irritating. Oh my goodness. There are so many irritating things in life, but I can tell you something that is not irritating. It's praising the Lord. It is pleasant. It is soothing. It is not irritating. Listen to me. You actually enjoy doing it. Wow. It's just like some people have a job and they don't enjoy going to the job, but they do it anyhow. Other people have a job and they can't wait to get there. They love their job. Well, listen, praising is a privilege, is a responsibility, and you like doing it. It's something that you enjoy doing it. It's joyful. It's soothing. It's non-irritating. It's reasonable. Okay. And then thirdly, it's beautiful. Oh, don't you like that? I'm not really artistic in the sense that I can't even draw stick people. You know what I mean? Like I have no ability as an artist or anything, but I think I have an eye for stuff. In other words, I can kind of tell if something's good or not. Maybe you're like that. You have a sense that it's beautiful or it's right, or maybe you see a painting or a drawing and you go, wow, that's beautiful. Or maybe you see a landscape or a sunset or something and you go, wow, that is fantastic. Praise is like that. Are you with me? It stands out. Like you notice it. It's like walking into a room and there's something there. There's something that stands out, a piece of furniture or a fireplace or a chandelier or something. You go, wow, look at that, you know. Praise is like that. It's the right thing to do. It's pleasant, soothing, it's not irritating. Something you enjoy doing and it stands out. You recognize it, you see it, and it's beautiful. Okay, now that's in verse one. The rest of this psalm through these next four verses, through verse six, I'm going to suggest we see some reasons, or we ask the question, why do we praise the Lord? What has he done? What are we attributing to him? What are we recognizing about him that causes us to lift him up? Verse two, he builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. I think we would have to say this verse, if I could summarize it, is like this. This is God's great love for his people. And notice Jerusalem, that great city of Zion, the city of the great king, or you call it the city of David, but it's really the city of God, the capital city of Israel, Jerusalem. He builds up Jerusalem, his great love for his people. And notice he gathers together the outcasts. And can I just make application to that? Listen to this thought. He finds us where we are. You know, there's a lot of people that have been set aside in their family or in society or in their church or somewhere. I love this thought. This is one reason I can praise the Lord. He gathers together the outcast. Now, I know he's speaking of Israel, but by application, he finds us where we are. We should give thanks unto the Lord because he redeemed us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, from the north and the south and the east and the west. We need to lift him up and to praise him. Verse three, you'll notice he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Again, if I could summarize this, this is a Lord, this is a God who takes you in the storms of life through the broken spirits and the wounded spirits and the destroyed emotions. And even Isaiah puts it like this, when the Messiah comes, he will preach the gospel to the poor. He will heal the brokenhearted. He will set at liberty those that are bruised. I love that. And I know that he heals us. He whispers in our ear that he is with us. These are reasons why I can lift him up and praise him and adore him. Verse number four, you'd say, well, what's this got to do with it? He counts the number of stars and he calls them all by name. Oh, yeah. Don't you love that? Let me put that in perspective for you. In Genesis 1 and 16, it just says this. It just says, you know, you made the moon and the sun and the light and the dark and the sea. And then it says, and he made the stars also. Unbelievable. Did you know that people that count stars, I'm not a star counter, there's a lot of them. They believe that there are you listening, 10 times more heavenly beings. I'm just going to call them stars, bodies, planets, system. Okay. 10 times more stars than there are you listening, grains of sand on Earth. You know what's interesting? He counts them. But that's not the most interesting. He calls them by name. You think you know Pluto and Jupiter and all this stuff? Well, let me tell you something. He's got them all. He's got the ones that are being born. He's got the ones that are burning up. Well, that'd be great because he knows all about the stars. Well, let me tell you why you can praise him. Jesus didn't die for stars. He died for you. And I don't know how many stars there are, but God does. I don't know what their names are, but God does. I don't know how many human beings have been on earth since he created out of dust Adam, but God does. Are you ready? And he knows their name. If that doesn't cause you to praise the Lord, he is infinitely interested in you. Someone wrote a song one time and it goes something like this. While he was on the cross, you were on his mind. That's the kind of God. That's the kind of Savior that we have. Okay, then he is great and he is powerful. Notice, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. All I want to say about this is that he knows everything. Well, one guy said to his friend, you know, God knows everything about you. He said, yeah, I know. And his friend said, but that's not the best. He still loves you. He still loves you. Oh, my, you know, he knows everything about you, but he still loves you. The psalmist says, oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my down sitting, my uprising. You know my thoughts afar off. You set me before and behind. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but Lord, you know it all together and on and on and on. What is it? God knows everything about you and he loves you. And then the last verse, number six, notice he lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. What can I get from this to praise the Lord? I get this. Are you ready? He does everything right. Oh, listen, he knows how to handle the situation. You and I, and sometimes even the psalmist says, why do the wicked have to be blessed? And here we are, we're trying to serve God. We got nothing but troubles. It's okay. God knows. He knows how to bless. He knows how to handle the situation. He knows how to take down the wicked. He does what is right. He knows how to handle the circumstances of life. And for that, I praise him. I lift him up. Now, just a few short verses very quickly. You got to go with me now. I want you to go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. We're thinking about praising Psalm 22. I just want to read one verse, and it's verse number 3. Verse number 3, thinking about praising. Notice this. It says, but you are holy, you who enthrone the praises of Israel. The old King James has it this way, who inhabits the praises of Israel. Okay. In other words, when the people of God praise God, guess who's there? Guess who's there? God inhabits the praises of his people. So I'd like to just put it this way. When you praise God, God's in on it. When you praise God, he's there listening. When you praise God, he inhabits, he dwells. The New King James says, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. And of course, by application, enthroned in our praises as well. We're going to skip this, but if you're taking notes, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 22. And the situation here was that King Jehoshaphat was being attacked by an enemy army. And God told King Jehoshaphat what he was to do in the battle. And King Jehoshaphat obeyed the Lord through the prophet. And in that context, it says simply this, that King Jehoshaphat sent out the choir, are you listening? The choir before the army, and the choir sang, praise the Lord for his goodness. And what happened when the choir began to praise the Lord, God moved in just like he said he would. He said, you praise, I'm here. But not only am I here, I'm going to move on your behalf. You'll not have to fight in this battle. You just stand still and watch the salvation of God. And it says, as the choir began to praise the Lord, they're marching into battle. Do you get that? They're marching into battle, and they're looking in the enemy's eyes, and they say, praise the Lord for his goodness. And they're singing praises to God. God says, That's it. That's the key. And you know what God did? He confused the enemy army, and they fought against one another. And that day, Israel didn't even fight, and they won the battle. What's my point? If praise beckons the presence of God, praise also beckons the power of God. When they begin to praise, God sent ambushments, the Bible said. Can you think of a New Testament counterpart? I think you can. Paul and Silas are in jail in Philippi, and it's at midnight, and they've been beaten, and they're not in very good shape. But you know what they're doing? They're singing praises to God. They're praying, and they're praising God. And God says, I'm in on that. Praise beckons my presence. I'm with them. And praise beckons my power. And as they sang praises to God, an earthquake hit that jail that night. The doors opened. The shackles fell off. The chains fell off. And God showed his presence in a mighty way. One more, I want you to turn here, Psalm 61. Go back to Psalm 61. So praise beckons the presence of God, and praise beckons the power of God. And let me read this verse for you, Psalm 61 and verse 8. 61 and verse 8. And we read this. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Did you ever wonder how you could start a new day, the day of grace, so that you might walk with God? Why don't you try praising sometime? Why don't you try lifting him up sometime? Why don't you try attributing to him his character and his work and his worth and acknowledging him and putting him on high just to start your day? Because the psalmist says, I will sing praises to your name forever. And we say to the psalmist, why would you want to do that? He says, oh, that I might daily perform my vows. You see, God encourages and strengthens those that praise him to walk with him. So praise is the habitat of God. Praise beckons the power of God. And praise should be a daily practice so that we can perform our vows to him. Now, I got one last verse for you. It's in the New Testament, and it's 1 Corinthians and chapter 4, please. 1 Corinthians and chapter 4. We're thinking about praise. We're thinking about who we praise, thinking about why we praise him. We're thinking about what praise does. God's in on it. He's with us. He shows his power. He strengthens his people with praise. But then notice this, verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels, that is, the motives of the heart, not the end of the verse yet. Then each one's praise will come from God. Don't you find that amazing? That there's coming a day, I believe is probably at the judgment seat of Christ, but there is coming a day when God is going to praise his people for what they have done. God is going to praise you. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ. The old King James says, every man shall have praise of God. The new King James says, then each one's praise will come from God. Can you imagine standing before the congregation of heaven? And God says, let me tell you about my saint here. Let me tell you about my child here. Let me just lift that person up for a moment and attribute to them their work and their worth in my son. Oh, dear friend, listen, praise ought to be an everyday occurrence. God's in on it. God's power's in on it. He strengthens his people. And at the end of the whole thing, God says, just let me, you've been praising me for your whole life. Let me just praise you for a moment here. Then everyone shall have praise of God, by God, in that day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us such a simple job to do. Something that's beautiful, something that's good, something that's proper, something that's not irritating, something we actually want to do. We want to lift you up. Father, help us to get better and better at doing it. Help us to get beyond ourselves and to lift up the Lord Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, all men shall be drawn to me. Lord, help us to lift him up in our daily life, in our family life, in our work life, in every aspect of our life. Help us to praise the Lord today and thank him for all of his goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.